Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Nor am I convinced that we control the media. I mean, I would love to. Give me half a chance and I would control the hell out of that media, but I'm just not sure that we do. We've decided to call in an expert. Avi Meir is a writer. He's an analyst based in Jerusalem. He's a former managing director of the global communications at the American Jewish Committee, former spokesperson for the IDF. Avi, good morning. Thanks again for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just thinking, if I had the media for a day, oh, the things I would do.
Yeah, you know, how wonderful would that be? Like, if only the conspiracy theories were true,
even some of them.
I suspect that media coverage of Israel would look very different than it does today.
I was just going to say, because if we do control the media, well, we're doing a pretty lousy job, aren't we?
Exactly so. Exactly. If only right. We had that would, you know, I think change a lot of things.
Okay, so let's give some context to the conversation that we're kind of having.
Sure. So just a few days ago, a member of a UN panel that was set up by the UN Human Rights Council, which is a body that has an institutional bias against Israel and against Jews, was quoted by an anti-Zionist website called Mondo Weiss as saying that the Jewish lobby and certain NGOs control social media. Now, what's striking about this isn't the fact that this person engaged in conspiracy theories. We're used to that. But we're used to people being a little bit smarter and couching their anti-Semitic conspiracy theories in terms like the Israel lobby or the Zionists. Here someone said very frankly that he's talking about the Jews. And it's touched off quite a firestorm. Several countries have openly condemned his remarks. And in fact, the Prime Minister of Israel, Yair Lapid, has called on the UN Secretary General not only to let this individual and the head of the commission, who is also quite biased against Israel, go, but actually to disband the entire commission. So that's where we're at the moment.
The fact that they are able to make these outrageous statements, to me, is perhaps an indication of the echo chamber in which they live. Because it didn't seem to occur to them that this could be problematic. Isn't that an issue in of itself?
I mean, look, I think that anyone who is associated with the United Nations, individuals certainly who are part of UN commissions, all tend to engage in some version of groupthink. And that version of groupthink tends to put the blame squarely on the shoulders of Israel and perhaps to be driven by certain conspiracy theories about Jews. So I can't say I'm terribly surprised about these remarks. Again, what's striking about them is just how blatantly anti-Semitic they were, whereas we're just used to something a little bit more mundane or something couched in various euphemisms. This one was really in your face, which I think is why it's garnered so much attention.
What has been, I mean, has there been an acceptable reaction from the United Nations themselves?
Well, it's been interesting. So the head of the commission, of course, an individual named Navi Pillay, who is herself.
Who, unfortunately, we know her too well. Being
exactly. We all know her way too well, has spoken out in her colleague's defense. The head of the UN Human Rights Council, which again is a body that has an institutional bias against Israel, that has condemned Israel more than any other country in the world, and in fact more than all countries in the world combined, has advised the individual in question to clarify his remarks because they could be taken as yes. representing a bias against Jews.
Oh, you mean it's possible? Like, it's possible to take it as bias against Jews. It's possible. I mean,
How is it possible to see it
any other way?
It's not really possible to see it any other way, but he's a diplomat, I suppose, so he has to say it in that way. The UN Secretary General has yet to speak out on the matter, but as I said, the Israeli Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, has called on him to disband the commission in the entirety. And look, he has actually been a fairly decent individual, someone who is fair-minded, who has spoken out against anti-Semitism. One can hope he'll do the right thing. I guess we'll see whether that actually happens.
Going back to the actual allegation, why is it that this has been used for so long, this allegation that Jews control the media?
Look, you know, I think that people are always looking for the hidden hand behind world affairs, be it in the realm of the media, of banking, of governments, and so on and so forth. And Jews have often made a useful scapegoat. I think that's just what we're seeing today. It's the regurgitation of age-old conspiracy theories about Jews that we've been hearing about for hundreds and even thousands of years. So the fact that he inserted social media instead of the media or banking or the government or whatever it might be is perhaps a modern spin on a very ancient conspiracy theory, but it's really all the same.
And in terms of in terms of Jewish presence on social media, do we have or in media in general, do we have a significantly higher representation to those, to that of our numbers?
So it's funny you should mention that. I actually just heard, I just learned of an analysis that was done on exactly this question. The number of Jewish and pro-Israel voices on social media is a drop in the ocean. We are vastly outnumbered by those who would seek us harm, our detractors, those who are not the biggest fans of both Israel and the Jews. So the notion that we are somehow in control of social media is utterly preposterous. If you spent even 5 minutes on a platform like Twitter, you will see all of the hostility, all the anti-Semitism that we encounter every day. So again, if only we controlled it, but in fact we do not.
And that is the reality. It is 8:54. Avi Meir, thank you as always.